knock on our door.
Knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend, comedian Don Jameson, Metal Blade recording artist, with his new and third comedy album, Communication Breakdown. Don also starred in Meet the Creeps, the web series. He released terrorizing telemarketers, crank call CDs, both with Jim Florentine, and co-hosted VH1's That Metal Show, along with Jim Florentine and Eddie Trunk. I can go on and on. I'll stop there. How you doing, Don?
You forgot also the star of the Had Enough video.
Oh, that's right.
Danko Jones.
You're in our video. You're in our, that full of Below the Belt trilogy that we did a few years back.
Yeah, out of all those things, that's what I'm most proud of.
Thank you. So we're here to talk about Three's Company because I reached out to you. I asked you if you were a Three's Company fan, and my God, you are a humongous Three's Company fan. I had no idea.
Listen, I've sort of modeled my life between Lemmy from Motorhead and Jack Tripper.
I could see that.
Yeah, I'm kind of I grew the facial chops, kind of like Lemmy, and that no BS, never give up attitude. But then, you know, the wild and crazy ladies guy, fun loving single Jack Tripper dude, that's the other side of me.
I gotcha. I could see that a mile away. once you said you're a huge Three's Company fan, it all kind of clicked in.
That's it.
So let's start with this episode's episode. And
wait, there's no Cousin Cameron?
No, not here. It's just you and I.
He's so lucky he's not there.
Why?
As I'm listening to the podcast, and I've listened to everyone, I wait for the new one every week, and I don't like his attitude.
yes, I know. But, you know, he's starting to come around.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I kind of toned it down because the last couple episodes, he kind of admitted it doesn't suck. And I know, by the time you get to the Mr. Furley years, he's going to be so fully hooked in, he's not even going to know what hit him.
Oh, man, I got to admit, even though we're getting ahead of ourselves, I'm a Furley guy.
Okay. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm Furley over Ropers. But people who are listening to this, and I'm doing this podcast as if the people listening have never seen the series. So it might be a spoiler alert, but there's a guy who comes in later in the series. His name is Mr. Furley, and he is the best.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the Ozzy and Dio years of Black Sabbath. I mean, they're both great.
Yeah, that's the way to put it, for sure. All right, so let's dive in. Season 2. Episode 14, Three's Christmas. It aired December 20th, 1977, directed by Bill Hobbin once again, written by Don Nichols, Michael Ross, and Bernie West. The synopsis is the kids don't have anywhere to go on Christmas Day. They say yes to Mrs. Roper's invite to a get-together, only to find out after that they've been invited to Jimmy Stevens's party next door. Jack and Janet want out, but Chrissy insists they go to the Ropers' get-together, and the whole episode is pretty much the awkward get-together at the Ropers. So what did you think of Three's Christmas?
Well, it definitely, this episode started slow.
Yeah.
And obviously it picked up steam once they got down to the Ropers' apartment, because just because of how awkward it was and how badly the kids obviously wanted to go to this great party, but Chrissy puts her foot down, says, no, we promised the Ropers, and they all like Mrs. Roper. They didn't want to let her down. And of course they go down there and it's just as brutal as they expected.
I think we've all been to this kind of get together, especially around the holidays. So we can all relate in some way, I think.
Yeah, or just, you know, I'm a sucker, man. If I commit to something, like I'm Larry Loyal. I'll always honor my commitments, even if it's going to end up being like a night with the Ropes.
Yeah. I was surprised at how quick Jack and Janet were going to ditch Mrs. Roper, if anyone.
Well, there's some really funny stuff in that episode. You know, you definitely see in the development of Chrissy as the dumb blonde.
Yeah.
She has a great line in there where she yells at Jack. She says, "Christmas is supposed to be a festive season, and all you care about is enjoying yourself."
Right. Right. Yeah. It's around this time that the writers started to really play up that whole dumb blonde image of Chrissy. And I think it really changed the original way she was. Like, she became really corny by the end of the series.
Oh, you think? Yeah, I don't know. You know, but it's sort of like, you know, she's like the Yogi Berra of the show. You know, she has all these these malapropriisms or whatever they're called. But yet, you kind of know underneath there is a brain there.
Yeah, there's something of like the logic of Chrissy Snow. You know, there is some sort of the I don't know what you call it, but the book of Chrissy Snow or something.
Well, the genius of her is just in sort of that she covers that up.
Yeah. And then we find out in the show alone, there's so many things that we find out about. For example, I don't think we know, we find out here that Mrs. Roper has a brother. We find out that Jack is interested in a girl named Liz Martin, who we never meet. We find out Jimmy Stevens lives next door, who we never meet again. We never hear about again. And we never hear about Mark, Chrissy's supposed boyfriend, who is also a commercial actor. And we find out that Jack or John Ritter can play piano and Norman Fell can play the trumpet. There's so many things we find out in this episode alone.
That's true. And you know, one of the things Cousin Cameron doesn't understand about the show is, you know, some of the, you know, the risque lines in the show back then, and this is 1977, obviously they're lines now that would just, you know, flow out of people's mouths. But back then, you know, like a line like Mrs. Roper, I think she says to Jack, she says, I play a lot of solitaire in bed. Right. And you know, it's a veiled sexual reference that she, you know, that basically that she plays with herself is what she's saying.
That's huge for that time. I mean, that's huge. Like, people don't get it these days because it's just so in all our faces.
Right. Yeah. But a line like that is so clever and so funny. And, you know, the comedy, her comedy timing, along with all of them. But, you know, Mrs. Roper, definitely underrated as a comedic actress.
Yeah. I think Three's Company was like, what would you compare it to for today in terms of like risque, edgy type show that everybody loves because it's so edgy these days? That's what Three's Company was for that time.
And I would have no idea because I haven't barely watched the sitcom since this went off the air.
Really?
Well, I watched, you know, I did watch Seinfeld, you know, but that's the last sitcom I ever watched. I still go, now you can catch all these, you know, I still watch Three's Company. You still can catch all these on, you know, on those, there's a lot of retro stations. So I watch Three's Company. I watch The Jeffersons. I watch All in the Family. I watch Good Times. I watch Sanford and Son. So, you know, no reason to watch these sitcoms out now because they're not funny.
Right. No, I hear you. I hear you. I think when you mentioned Seinfeld and just how groundbreaking that was, people don't realize that for the audience back then in the late 70s, that was Three's Company was groundbreaking for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only thing I'll say about this episode that bummed me out is there just wasn't enough of that physical humor from Jack.
Right.
You know, he was always, because as the seasons go on, it's pretty much there would always be one scene in every show where he would sort of be spotlighted, you know, by himself in some situation with some kind of physical comedy. And, I, you know, you always look forward to that.
I agree. But I also like this episode because it's just so contained in this one scene. It's like the whole thing happens in the Roper's apartment. And it was kind
of... And then the twist at the end is great. The Ropers get invited to the same party.
Yeah, they're all trying to get rid of each other. That's great.
And then just another quick observation is these episodes in the early days had the extended opening theme.
Right.
Like this is the minute 10 opening theme, which features a little drum solo and then back into the chorus at the end, which obviously they shortened years later. And on top of that, the episodes much longer than TV shows, 30-minute TV shows now, 25-20, which means there's only, 3:40 of commercials, which is incredible. You know, nowadays sitcoms are like 21 minutes and it's 9 minutes of commercials.
Yeah. That's a good point you bring up, is like the theme song or the opening is a lost art in television these days. You know, there's just a quick, maybe you see the banner, you see, you know, the name of the show, and then we're into the episode. Whereas before there was like a long lead up, and also like the intro in Three's Company is also taken from outside of the episodes themselves, like when Janet mistakenly waters the plants and dumps it on Chrissy and she's in that bikini. Like that was never in an episode. That was shot for the introduction. So
that's a good tidbit, Danko.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing how, you know, TV shows have kind of devolved, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think also back then, because it was still only, you know, early in the run of the show, is that they really wanted to, if the viewer decided to watch the open, they wanted to make it as enticing as possible for you to continue to watch it. So to extend it and show lots of physical gags, obviously the opportunity to show Chrissy in a bathing suit,
yeah,
you know, is, you know, look, as a 13-year-old me, you think that didn't make me watch?
Yes. Yes. You're waiting for some more bikini shots, which sometimes happened.
Yeah, they got a little more risque. But look, as a 50-year-old me, you know, I tune in, so
yeah, right.
It never changes.
Well, okay. Well, thanks a lot for knocking on our door, Don, for this episode. And look, you got to come back.
Yeah, I would be honored to. I'll come knock on the door anytime.
Come back next week.